You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
For any Yankee fans looking for a podcast to listen to, I suggest you check out NYY Sports Talk.
Are you listening?
Tune into the fellas.
Damn. Yeah.
There's no BS, there's no drama. Just feel like you with the fellas talking baseball.
Welcome back. This is episode 256 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian, as always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
Yo.
And SGR.
What up?
You're not dragging out the R. There's no time for that today.
Nah. Not holding up.
No. Let's just get the bookkeeping out of the way here. Please go to patreon.com/NYYST. $5 a month to be a patron of the show. Support the show.
Don't support the Yankees. Support the show.
Support the show. Don't support the Yankees. No, support the Yankees. This is still your team, and we'll get into all that in a few minutes. But you're not paying the Yankees. You're paying us.
We think.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where the money goes. I'm not the accountant for NYYST. We leave that to Ryan. Anyway, also go to nyysportstalk.com. Go to the shop tab. It's a little chilly out when you leave in the morning. You're going to need an El Capitan shirt to not only keep you warm, but remind you when this team actually had the balls to win championships.
Oh, that's a good topic to talk about.
Okay. So,
what about five-star reviews?
Yeah, five-star rating and review, please.
We still take it. It must be broken because we haven't gotten a fucking review in a long time.
No one cares.
No one cares.
Yeah,
You know, if you're so inclined to leave us a five-star rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it. We will have some exciting/interesting news about the future of the show in a couple of weeks. I just want to get that out of the way right now. This will be our last show for approximately like a week and a half, something like that. We're going to take the week off to decompress like we usually do after these bitter disappointments that we've been dealing with since we started the show. And then we'll be back with honestly, I hate that we do them and that we continually do them now earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah.
But they're my favorite shows of the years when we do keep them, dump them. Those will be the next two episodes. And after the second episode of Keep 'Em Dump 'Em, we'll have a little news regarding the future of the show. But we do want to thank everybody who supported the show through 2021 in this nightmare of a season.
Before we get too deep into anything, can we just give a shout out to I'm gonna fucking butcher this dude, and I apologize. Drian De Acampo, I think that's how you say it. For the tweet we got the second the fucking last out was recorded last night.
Yeah, that
because honestly, dude, I actually messaged him privately just to say thank you, because it's shit like this. Like, people don't realize just one simple tweet, and we get hundreds of tweets throughout the season, and they're all fucking amazing, but in a time when it was just like your world is shattered in the moment, to go on Twitter and to read this was just, it kind of lifted you up a little bit. He just said, if this is the end to all of us, if this is the end, thank you. Your show was the first New York Yankee podcast I've ever listened to. Ebbs and Flows episode 124 last September 2019, which was a great show. He said, I'm a bigger fan now than I was before since I listened to your show. your banter, your insights. They are all golden. Thank you. You guys are great. Hope all is well. Let's go, Yanks. I think you meant go, Yank. Pop, pop. Pop, pop.
We used to do that a lot, right?
What?
Pop, pop.
We always did. What are you fucking kidding me?
That was the call.
That's like
that
one of our signature things, dude.
Punch on the pot.
Pop, pop.
Oh, right.
Pop, yeah. Pop.
And you know, I came up with that on the spot after I punched Chris. I thought of that right in that moment.
Pop, pop.
Like one well, Michael
that was
K.
definitely
Wood.
A highlight of the show, but there's going to be time to reminisce about this show right now. I did record a Patreon right as the game was ending last night. So, I mean, if you really
want to catch shit out right away too for you.
Yeah, thank you. If you really want to catch like raw emotion out of me, I mean, it might be the best $5 you ever spent as I'm recording and watching the season end before my eyes. And as I said, as I opened that, I want to thank everybody as before and to Dre. What was the person's name again?
Dreon. I'm just calling Dreon. Him Dreon because I like that
we
name.
We call him Dr. How about we just call him Dr. Dre?
Dr. Dre. Yo, change your fucking Twitter name to Dr. Dre. That's sick.
So, you know, we've had great success, great support. It's all because everybody listens to the show. So we thank you. And it's been and we understand that if you didn't want to check us out as much as usual this year because you just got tired of hearing about this team that we all root for. And I called it a nightmare of a season because it kind of was that you were hoping that at some point this team was going to wake up and be the Yankees, and it never materialized. It never happened. They won 92 games. It took them to the last out. I mean, we said this on Monday. It literally took them to the last possible second to clinch. And then, you know, in 3.5 hours, the season was over. It was over a lot faster than that. But this is usually the time where we spend to get it all out, to dump it out, to get our emotions out.
It's the Yankee fan therapy session.
And we got some comments that we'll read to. We'll let the fans get their emotions out as well.
Let's just get this out of the way, too. You're dealing with a little agita tonight. It's partly because of the Yankees, partly because you changed your diet.
It's not agita. It's
whatever, same thing. Well, it's the same thing.
A little different.
A little chest pain. You're getting older. You're changing up your diet. And also the Yankees don't help with your bodily functions.
Yeah, sure. I was thinking about it all day today, what I was going to come on here and say. And usually that's not a good thing because you usually like to just shoot straight from the hip.
Yeah.
And give you like a raw reaction. And I want to say this, like, it's getting tougher and tougher each year to deal with these losses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that I'm not going to be a Yankee fan anymore. That's just silly. But as you get older, it takes so much out of you. Like, that you're there for 6 months. 6 months. That's why I said this last episode, like, football is the perfect second sport to root for. Because, yeah, even if the Giants are bad, even when the Giants are good, let's say when the Giants are good and they get, well, it has been. But, like, even if they lose a first-round playoff game, it's still like, it was only 3 hours out of the week that I had to fill. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Like, when you're a baseball fan, it's a lifestyle. Like, this is what you do every day. Like, you make sure that you're home at 7:05 to get the game on. You make sure that, like, you're not planning your wedding to happen
that's
in the middle
fucking
of October.
True. That's true.
You know?
And, like, that's part of the reason why I can't watch other sports. Football would be an exception because it's every either Thursday, Sunday, Monday. But, like, I loved hockey when I got into it, right? But I can't deal with the, like, what day are they playing, what time. Baseball, you know, outside of a couple weird scheduling anomalies this year, you know they're only going to be off on Mondays and Thursdays. And other than that, Your team's on every single night.
Yeah. People liken it to, you know, it's like a bad breakup. Like you're with a person and then they're not there anymore. It's not, and that's the same way you feel when you're a fan of a baseball team. Like they're there with you every day. And there's times that you choose that team over the people that share your blood, share your name. And there's been times like I haven't been the best father at certain times because I've been watching the Yankees.
True.
And it's like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, like, just imagine, just know how you feel at that moment, like as you're watching and you know that the season is over and you just invested all this time, when time that you say to yourself, like, you know, your kids are growing up and like this is the time you could be doing stuff with them. And instead you're like, oh, I got to watch the game instead. But then when you're screaming at the TV, let's go on Sunday night, and your 1-year-old is looking at you saying, go, you're like,
this is what this I is fucking
why,
do it for.
This is why I have to continue this. I still want this because I want to have that with her. I'm not sure if I'm not speaking for you. You want to have that with your kids as well. Like, this is ingrained in me. This is something that I just can't turn off. But like at the same time, it's like it's starting to become like it's wearing on you. Like you just don't have the same resilience of it. Like I was legit, like today I had to get up and do shit. And you know, I was out in Pennsylvania today, so luckily, like, I didn't have to sit there and be mired in New York City sports talk, so I could get away from it and just kind of decompress today. But, like, dude, I should have went to bed at, like, what, 11:30, 12 o'clock last night? I was up till the fucking 2 o'clock. Like, I was legit depressed. Like, it's just something that's
I had a night. I mean, I fucking literally, I texted you guys this. I'm not saying this for the show. I'll even go into a little more detail. I had a dream that the Yankees won the World Series.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
I had a dream that the Yankees won the World Series. And it was kind of weird because for whatever reason, Paul O'Neill was pitching. And he was throwing a perfect game. So it was a little unrealistic. But it still didn't stop me from jumping up at 3 or 4 in the morning and thinking the Yankees were in the World Series, and then having to remind myself that they just lost the wild card game. And that shit's real. And we got to go on and live our lives, which I kind of gotten better at getting over it in a sense of, I know this team so well that by the time they gave up that they gave back that run, after Rizzo hit that home run, it was 3-1. They fucked up. Nevin sent Judge home. And whatever, you still felt good. You still felt like maybe some momentum was in the Yankees' favor. And then the Yankees give up that run right back. And in that moment, I started grieving. That was the moment I started grieving. And I didn't turn back. I wasn't giving up, in a sense. But I knew that if I was going to start grieving, I could start right there. And it would make it easier as the night went on.
At 4-1, you knew it was over at that point. Because even they didn't get that second run in or that third run in when they could have in the sixth. Was it the sixth?
Sixth inning, I believe, yeah.
Okay. You just knew once Boston scored again, it was the momentum had gone back in their favor. But yeah, it's an emotional drain. That's what people, you parachute in, you watch 20, 30 games a year. Like, you can't call yourself a fan when you do that. Like, to be a baseball fan, this is something you got to be committed to from, you know, I'm not even saying that you got to watch every spring training game, but you got to watch a few innings here and there.
Well, it's part of, it's my argument as to why last year wouldn't have felt the same whether they lost or won, because you didn't have to deal with all of that in a grand sense of, like, you just said, you know, you tune into 30 games. Well, last year was only double that. And it's like, I'm not taking away from what the Dodgers did. I wouldn't take away if the Yankees won it. But it also wouldn't feel the same in a sense of, You didn't have to sit through 162 games and the ups and downs of a season the way we did, especially this year.
And that's what I think made this a little harder to deal with last night, is that you hadn't gone through this grind of a season like this in 2 years. It wasn't there last year. Like, the 60 games was done and over in 2 months, and then you had the postseason, and still you got ramped up. You were excited for it. I mean, I wasn't going to throw it away, but like, the Yankees are playing the Rays in fucking San Diego. That's not the same. It's not the same thing of what, as,
oh,
what,
yeah, we, I forgot, went, it wasn't even it.
You know, it's not the same thing as what we went through this past season. So like, it's like, it's new and old, and it's all like these different emotions now because you hadn't experienced it in 2 years. And it's just like, I don't know how to really adequately say this, but like, you question yourself at certain points though, like, am I going to do this to myself again? And now that like, we're sitting here, like, I'm saying to myself, like, yeah, I have to, like,
yeah,
what else am I, what else are you going to do? Like, you can't just be caught, like, yeah. And people are listening, all these asshole Yankee fans, like, they haven't won in 12 years. Like, Seattle hasn't been in the playoffs in what, like, fucking 40 years. Like, I'm sure these, I'm sure that, like, the Mariners would have loved to get fucking destroyed in a wild card game. Like, it would have been the highlight of these people's lives. But like,
but we're not Mariners fans.
No, and you know, 12
we're fucking
years
is starting Yankee to be, fans.
You know, 12 years is starting to become a long time to go in between World Series. You know. And you know, your life changes a lot in 12 years, and you just got to, I mean, you're either going to be a fan or you're not. And like, you know, that's why I always say this, like, after every time the Yankees lose, especially like in the last 2 or 3 years that we've been doing the show, I'm done. I'm not watching anymore. Okay, goodbye. Like, I can't, as much as sometimes I'll sit there and question it, I can't turn it off. Like, honestly, like, even if I got to the point where I'm like, fuck this, I'm a dad now. Like, I got better ways to spend my time than to sit here and, you know, invest 6 months in watching this team 162 games into the postseason. Dude, I'm going to be like, I couldn't imagine doing anything else but watching the Yankees play the Rangers on March 31st. Like, that's opening day next year. You know, I can't imagine doing anything else, like, barring like some type of catastrophe where I couldn't. That's
just
what I'm going to be doing.
It becomes a part of your life. It's like, no matter what you have going on, we have kids. Ryan has a steady job right now that takes a lot out of him. And it's like, at the same time, as much as it is, it becomes part of your life. Like, it's not something you even have to think about.
Like, I took off. I was home to make sure that I was home to watch opening day with my kid this year. She was what? She was like 11 months old at the time. And I was talking to my wife last night. I said, I'm going to be home on March 31st. Like, I'm going to make sure that I'm home. Like, and she's like, why? I said, it's opening day. And this is going to, and I told her, like, and this was even before the game. So who knew the outcome at that point? But I said, I want this to become a thing where daddy is home and daddy and Ava are home together for opening day. Like, this is these are traditions. And this is like, you know, it's sometimes it's hard for me to talk about, but like, I don't have a good relationship with my father. He's in my life. I'm happy for that. But like, the only time that we kind of ever really get along is talking about this fucking, these assholes that play for the Yankees. And like, so that's how I have and not that I only want that to be the relationship I have
Dad,
with my daughter.
I fucking hate your guts, but these Yankees are killing me.
But like, I also want that to be a building block in our relationship. Like, I want that to be a tradition. And then when she's old enough, like, you're not going to school on opening day. You're home. We're watching a game. And when it's in the Bronx, you know, we'll be there. Like, so, you know, you can turn that switch off. I can't turn that switch off.
Just promise me that you won't do what our dad did, where like, he got us hooked on the Yankees. And now, like, when they lose, he's just like, well, fuck, gotta wake up and go to work tomorrow. Even though he's texting me all day about how fucking depressed he was.
Yeah, he took it.
That they lost.
Kind of hard.
But yeah, just tough. Don't do that. Like, don't ever get it to a point where you have to act like life is more important than the Yankees.
Well, I'll be honest with you, dude. Like, you can't stop handling your responsibilities because the Yankees lost.
Well, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say crawl up into a fucking ball and don't move, but yeah. Don't, but in the moment, feel the fucking pain. Like, always make sure you're feeling the pain.
I don't know.
Don't fucking lift the rug up and fucking take the broom and sweep it under and just say, gotta get up and go to fucking work tomorrow.
I don't know. You produce the shows. I don't know if you listen to them, but if you don't think I was feeling pain as I'm recording last night, I don't know how better to convey something like that, you know? There are things that make me feel better now at this stage in my life. Like, you know, you see your little girl smile at you. It kind of makes you feel...
No, my little girl hates me.
You know, your daughter...
She tells me to go fuck off, pretty much.
But you have three of them, though. So one of them has to love you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, one out of three.
I
only
have... 400 and 300.
You know what it is? It's like the older two both kind of half love me. And so it makes up for the third one that fucking hates my guts. So
if you're one out of three of your kids loving you, that's okay. You're good. But if I was 0 for 1, you know, like what the fuck?
Sucks. Dude? You might as well, you know, not even be in her life at that point.
So I don't know if any of you guys really wanted, what else you guys want to get off your chest right now. But
I think a lot of it because I haven't been able to truly, and it was important we did a show right away. Because this was such a fucking, this loss was unlike any other, that it was just so in your face, fucking truly unexpected. Like, okay, 2017 sucked, but they made it to Game 7 when they weren't even supposed to in the ALCS. 2018, they faced a fucking deadly Red Sox team. I'm sorry. Well, I don't care if they were cheating, whatever. That team was good. 2019. Yeah. They fucking dominated. They, again, make it to the ALCS, and we get some heartbreak. 2020, at least they make the ALDS. They have a decent run. They get to Game 5. More heartbreak. But this year was so fucking blunt that there's no way we could take more time to truly wrap our heads around it, and we just had to come on at this point the day after. So I think I have so much on my mind for what actually happened and what needs to happen that I don't have a lot to get off my chest. I think you nailed it all. It's just the raw emotion of it. And it's time to fucking really break down what the fuck happened and what needs to change.
Well, there's two people that really need to be dealt with today, and that's the manager and that's the starting pitcher. I'm not even going to call him the fucking ace right now because he doesn't deserve it at the moment. And I'll start with him, okay? Because There are high expectations for Gerrit Cole. He didn't come here to fill a rotation spot. He came here.
Can I just cut? I think it's important to preface by saying there's not just expectations from Cole from us or for the organization. He has the same expectations on himself. And he absolutely should.
He should.
So when we talk about him like this, it's everything that he would tell you himself. And I think that's important to remember because there's too many people out there trying to defend him. And I get it. I love the guy too. But he wouldn't even defend himself in this moment. So it's time to break it down for what it fucking is.
It was an utter failure is what it was. And now, instead of just giving him carte blanche and saying he's the ace, and I believe we said this on Monday, that he needs to go out there and prove this, that he can do this. Now, I'm not going to say some stupid shit like the Yankees have to get rid of him, because I think that would be completely
dumb. Or that they shouldn't have signed him.
Or that they shouldn't have signed him, or that he's a fraud. Look, I screamed and said that he was after the Spider-Tax shit, but you want to know something? It took him a couple games to get it figured out, and he figured it out. Because and I saw this today, his ERA from the crackdown to the hamstring injury was 2.45. Now, he was atrocious after the injury, but are we going to – and this is what pisses me off. This is why I hate having to fucking defend people that I'm mad at, because people just can't take things for what they are. They have to always either grab the low-hanging fruit, you know, the clickbait headline, and not think for them fucking selves, oh, it's the spider attack. That's why he's not, and that's why he's not good. That's not true. That is not true. The reason why Gerrit Cole didn't go out there and dominate last night has nothing to do with fucking sticky stuff.
I'll say this. I can't say it fully doesn't have to do with spider attack for this reason and this reason only. If he's injured in the past, if he's feeling a little, you know, a little sore in his hamstring. If he's using the spider tack stuff, sometimes that's enough to get by if you're going all upper body to get the same spin rate, same rotation, and same everything else to at least get by and not give up five fucking runs in two innings, right? I know that's not what he did last night, but just in general. So maybe that's where Ace Garrett Cole could have differed when he used it. But he's got to know that if he's not feeling 100%, if he's not used to pitching raw like that and not being 100%, that he's not going to be able to be effective. We saw it in his last regular season start. And I said if he felt that way still, he couldn't take the ball. And it's mainly because in any other year, I'd say an injured, compromised Garrett Cole is still your best option. But we had some great starting pitching this year from this team. We had a guy in Nestor Cortez take the ball every fifth day, no matter who he was facing, and fucking keep teams down. We had guys like Kluber. We had guys like fucking Monty, other than his last start. So in this year only, a compromised Garrett Cole who couldn't be effective like his last regular season start couldn't take the ball last night. It hurt this team. And I always applaud guys for trying to fight through injuries. But when you know you can't be effective, you're hurting the team. You're not doing anything else but hurting this team.
Look, here, I got to say this, bro. Like, I don't want to give him an out and say that he was hurt because you want to know something? You took the fucking ball.
Yeah, no, yo, you're 100% right.
So now this is his legacy damaged beyond repair? No, but it's taken a big hit. His reputation as being an ace has taken a big hit now.
Big time.
I mean, the guy struggled, spider tack or no spider tack, pitching in Fenway Park.
In the biggest game of the year.
You sign with the Yankees. There's one team you're expected to beat.
Hell yeah.
And it's the Red Sox. And he hasn't done that. I don't think the moment is too big for him.
No. Has nothing to do with that.
You know, I didn't listen to only like the first 20-30 minutes of my commute this morning, and then I was out of the area and I couldn't. But some guy called up today at one of the shows today I saw on Twitter and said this is the new Sonny Gray.
What?
Like, I understand. Look, and we're going to touch on some when we read the fan comments toward the end of the show. I understand everybody's mad and upset today, but don't say ignorant things. This guy, in the year and a half, you can only call it half a year from last year, has shown more fucking balls than Sonny Gray could ever show if he had a fucking elephant testicles.
If he actually had balls.
Stapled to him, okay? Don't fucking ever compare Garrett Cole to fucking Sonny Gray.
Well, I thought my curveball was on today.
Yeah, because you want to know something? Garrett Cole might have a legit excuse why he was terrible last night. He's not using it. Oh, the sun was in my eyes and... Or I don't pitch well when I smell hot dogs, and I told them.
You know, Grandpa Larry told me to keep throwing my slider, and I told him I'm not comfortable throwing my slider.
They can't be boiling hot dogs when I'm on the mound. I tell them that all the time. I don't like the smell of hot dogs. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, please.
If Sonny Gray pitched that game last night for the Yankees and the Yankees lost, he's going to sit there and tell you that he's sick to his stomach that they fucking lost? No, he's going to find a reason why it didn't happen for him. And all Garrett Cole had to say was last night was, yeah, I didn't get it done. I'm sick to my stomach that we lost. And I respect him for that. You can't make – because you want to know something? You know what fans don't want to hear in that situation? Excuses. You want to know why? Because as I said, you took the fucking ball. It was in your hand.
Absolutely. And like I said, he knows that more than anyone. And that's why that he gave his answer. I gotta tell you, though, man. It takes a lot for me to say this and to feel this way, but I don't respect him for his answers. I respect the answer itself, but I can't sit here and say, like, yeah, I have a lot of respect for Garrett Cole because he gave that answer. Because that's just not the answer I need to hear.
But what
answer? The answer I need to hear was, I felt great tonight, and that's why we fucking won.
Well, obviously,
that's the only answer I need to hear at this point. No, okay. But I'm agreeing with you. the answer itself I can respect. And in any other circumstance, I would sit here and fully agree with you. But at this point in time, the utter fact that he fucking went out there and failed, no answer at this point can gain my respect back for him until he takes that fucking ball and shows me he's not that guy. That's the only way I gain my respect back for Gerrit Cole. Not some fucking answer of why, of, you know, how sick to his stomach he is. I respect the answer itself. It doesn't make me gain respect back for Gerrit Cole at this point.
Do you think it makes me feel anything? Nothing he could say can make you feel better about the way he pitched yesterday, but I appreciate that he said that and then try to make fucking excuse.
I don't appreciate it because he shouldn't have fucking had to say it, is what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, if you just take it for the context of what we're talking about here, would you rather him go out there and make excuses why he didn't pitch well yesterday?
Nope. I'd rather him not fucking have to talk about why he didn't pitch well.
I'd rather him not pitch like shit either,
and that's all
Chris.
We have to talk about, because that's it. Because at this point in time, there's no like, oh, this answer was great. No, the only answer was to win a fucking World Series. And the fact that he's the reason why they couldn't even make it past the wild card, because I don't care if the offense didn't show up. When you go out there and you give up a first fucking inning home run at Fenway Park to a guy who was ice cold, you're fucking failed. You failed.
Yeah, I mean, Lizard. Is anybody trying to say that he pitched well yesterday?
Lizard.
Have you seen that? Has anybody actually gone that far and said that
some people are trying to defend
his wife.
Him. Yeah, maybe Amy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, where's the kid? Where's the kid now, Amy?
Seriously.
Night? Where's the video of the fucking kid last night?
I mean,
daddy sucks.
Can I bring this up, please? And Ryan, if you want to interject at any point with your impersonation, I would love it because Mike Francesa tweeted today.
Okay, I got it up there. I got it up here right now. Okay. Awful finish to what was a strange, highly uneven year for the Yankees. Okay.
That's not even what I was referencing. Is that he said that
Cole was honest. Okay. I thought he was honest and accountable. Okay. In his press conference. He just has to be better.
What he said, if you let me get to
those are actual tweets.
I know. And he said that if Cole thought September was bad, wait till he deals with the off season. And somebody quote tweeted that and said, what's going to happen? His kid's going to boo him? Which I found pretty funny. Which, I mean, you got to sometimes it's good to laugh in that situation. But yeah, I mean, Amy, you want to send any more Instagram photos? Because like I got one of me puking in a fucking bag yesterday. When your husband's giving up fucking home runs in Fenway Park.
Yeah, please.
The top comment Bobby, on that tweet.
Because after October, okay, is November, okay, and most people don't realize, but after that, December, okay, back after this.
We never touched on this here. Craig Carr made a big deal about it, and he should have because he was right to do so. Is that after the Cleveland game, remember when he got the shit kicked out of him on Cleveland? He was booed, rightfully so.
Absolutely.
Susan, under her breath as he's walking off the mound, made a comment, said, what is wrong with these people in reference to Gerrit Cole being booed?
Absolutely. Okay?
Did she walk that back at any point last night? Because if he was at Yankee Stadium, what do you think that fucking building would have sounded like last night? That he's being pulled off the mound first and second out after in the third inning of the fucking wild card game after allowing two fucking bombs.
Well,
what do you think that building's going to sound like?
According to her partner, the Yankees actually took a 1-0 lead in the first inning. I don't know if anyone caught that audio.
I don't know. Honestly,
the worst one of the year.
I don't know how that ball didn't get out. But
weird.
But in all honesty, there's no excuse for that because they were there last night. So he didn't have to watch the game off the fucking monitor.
Yeah. But like, here's my thing with Gerrit Cole, right? We can go on and on about it.
That he sucks?
No, listen. We can go on and on about Gerrit Cole, but he's not at the forefront of my mind right now because I really don't worry about him. Something was off. Something will be adjusted. If it was injury, whatever, he'll work through it. Gerrit Cole is the least of my worries right now.
I wouldn't say the least of them.
No, I would because I have I'm in my own mind, and I'd say that he's definitely the least of my worries right now because moving forward, I don't question him. I'm not saying he doesn't have a lot to prove, but I just don't, I don't fear that he'll be incapable of proving
it. Before you get to your point, I want to say this, is that now when a guy like Gerrit Cole has to prove to me what he has to prove to me after last night, he's not the least of my worries. I have to worry about him now because...
Well,
now
he's still a worry. He's just the least of them.
He's not the least of my worries.
If I make a hierarchy of all my worries, he's at the bottom of it.
Like people focusing on the fact that the Yankees need to improve the catching position, that's the least of my worries. The Gerrit Cole not pitching like an ace is not the least of my worries. But go ahead.
Okay, of all the major worries we can have, I'd say Gerrit Cole's...
Major worries?
I'd say Gerrit Cole's up there, but of all the major worries we're going to have right now, he's the least of them. Because I don't see him hindering the future.
Okay, is he a cuck now?
He is a fucking cuck, and he has to prove that he could be a bull once again.
All right, yeah.
I did not have sexual relations with that lady.
If you're Gerrit Cole, right, and you walk in, like, and you see your wife, you know, and you're like, oh, babe, you know, like, sympathy sex? Like, yeah, no, okay. Dude, get the fuck out of here.
No way, dude. I'm sleeping with Max Scherzer before his big game tomorrow night.
Yeah. He fucking still made $1 million last night.
Fuck him.
Like, how does he have the balls to ask his wife for sex after
do you think she makes him sleep on the couch until she's over it?
Is she over it though?
I don't know. Because did she even watch?
Her brother's still in the playoffs.
She has a video of the kid in her drafts on Twitter that she never got to send.
How do you call it? What the fuck was I gonna say? I completely forgot now. If it comes back to me.
Cuck. Gerrit Cole. Yeah. Amy. Yeah. But honestly, out of all my
Joey Gallo's. I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend, but people were kind of upset with her because she tweeted or Instagram something that like now she gets to spend time with Joey and.
Oh, like, you married the wrong fucking woman, dude. Sorry.
That she wants to spend time with him?
No, like, that's just not what you say to people.
That's not what you say. Like,
you say, I'm embarrassed that Phil Nevin had felt the need to fucking send Judge because he had no faith in my husband.
I mean, like, if people know who your man is, like, you know, you're going to take heat for that. Like, I get it from, she might not like baseball. She might not like that Joey's away for as long as he is. But, like, you know, maybe save that for next week. Like,
why do you think Joey jacks?
Well, you know,
he hasn't jacked in a while.
Maybe save that for next week when you guys are on vacation. You know, that's not something that needs to come up, you know, hours after the game.
I agree.
Mrs. Gallo, if that's even your name.
Yeah.
So is it okay if I post this? Can I post this?
Babe. Yeah, that's fine. So out of all my major concerns, then he's at the bottom of the list because I don't see him hindering the future. There's other issues that I feel will prevent this team from moving forward, because this has been my biggest narrative from the second they lost. It's not just that it's another failed season, okay? It's that we're watching a team in front of our eyes that's supposed to be getting better and better, and yet they continue to regress. And that's where the issue lies. It's not like this team is getting more competitive and going deeper into the postseason and continuing to grind and showing that in areas where they've lacked previously, where they've fallen short, that they are getting better in those areas. Instead, they are getting worse. They are getting worse. And we can throw Gerrit Cole into that in this mix right now, because pitching wasn't an issue this year until it was. Because Gerrit Cole should not be a guy that you have to hold your breath in a wild card game. And I don't care who you are, how confident you want it to sound, you knew deep down that something was not right with him. And you had that weird gut feeling that Gerrit Cole could go out there and do exactly what he did his last handful of starts. And that's just not, that just wasn't okay this year. And you know, you want to fucking throw away the whole concern with a catcher and a shortstop and all that. But guess what? Those are concerns because this team, we've said it from the beginning, has way too many question marks for a team that was supposed to be built and ready to go 3 years ago.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, they're terrible. They've regressed mightily this year.
So, I mean, that's, it's not just, oh my God, you guys are spoiled. You fucking, at least you made it to the postseason. It's not just the failed season in itself. It's when you compare it to the other seasons since this rebuild, they have mightily regressed. It's not just, again, it's not, 2018 was different because they actually faced a team I felt was better than them. But since then, they have not faced a team that I felt they couldn't beat.
Yeah, because then it was the missing piece was not having an ace. Well, then they got the ace.
They and got the ace. And
there was always...
It's always was, we need this, and then we get it.
Yeah,
and then
it's always something. That's what, mm-hmm. It's always something that's been missing. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, when is it not going to be missing anymore? You know, this is going to be a very interesting offseason in the sense that, you know, you can't come back with status quo. You did that last year, and you wanted to excuse it on the 60-game season that you thought over 162, you know, whatever, things would be back to normal or they'd be the 2019 team again. Fine, whatever. I think a lot of us made the mistake of agreeing with it because we didn't know what to really take out of the COVID season because it was only 60 games. But you can't come back with status quo in 2022. There needs to be a big time shakeup in the not only the people making the decisions, but the people that take the field as well. And I don't want to go too deep into this because a lot of this stuff is going to come up again. Yeah. What we do to keep them, dump them, mm-hmm. again. But you can't go into 2022 with Aaron Hicks being a starting center fielder. That has to change.
Yeah. You can't rely on him anymore. And we just need to accept that.
You know, you need to bring in a big-time first baseman. Whether you want to say that's keeping Anthony Rizzo, trading for somebody, you can't bring back Luke Voit as your first baseman.
Can't rely
on status quo. That's not good. Now, you also need upgrades behind the plate. I don't think it's going to happen because the Yankees are going to sit there and look at other things that they have to do and realize mm-hmm. that they got 20-plus home runs out of Gary Sanchez this year, and he wasn't completely awful. He was better than he has been this season, right? I mean, it's like being the tallest dwarf in the circus.
Right.
But still, he was better than he has been. So the Yankees are going to look at that and say, we're going to have to pay him $7 or $8 million a year, and then we can, you know, move on. And I want to read this right now because I reached out to somebody because I knew he would have the answer. Let me just find the tweet really real fast here on the fast. Well, it's, I've had so many notifications today that...
I have people fighting on one of my tweets. I've had 100 notifications every time I fucking open Twitter.
So, you know, Tom Kuzenski, who goes at under Mr. Wine Club,
the Unabomber?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I want to give him a shout out here. He's always tweeting and writing about the Yankees minor league system. This is where I get a lot of my information from by following him. And the dude only has like 2,200 followers. Mr. Y, the letter Y, Klep, C-L-E-P-T.
Y, Klep, Sean.
I think if you're listening to the show and you don't follow him, you should. I mean, if you really want to like have a little baseline knowledge of the Yankees minor league system. So he was in a conversation with somebody about the Yankees needing to upgrade their catcher, right? So I tweeted him. I said, Siegler, Bro, and Wells, all recently drafted relatively high. Are they close? Can they stop gap with Gary in the last year of his control and go to them at some point 2022 or 2023 or not really? And this was his answer to me. He says, Siegler had another lost season. He's entering non-prospect status. Josh Bro has power that should translate to the major league level, but can he catch? I mean, I don't think we want to go down that route again. Mm-mm. And Wells is more of a 2023 conversation, meaning that he's not really close, but he has the same questions about his catching ability. He says Donnie Sands, who was in AAA a lot this year, is probably ready, but he profiles as a backup. So, no, the answer is no.
So what did we do? We drafted a bunch of Gary Sanchez's, whether it's the Gary Sanchez who can't stay healthy or the Gary Sanchez who can't defend behind home plate. That's what we did. Man.
I mean, again, if that's the case, and I'm going to take him at his word, I mean, this is something that he does, is he follows the minor league system. That falls on Brian Cashman because these are his people that he hires to draft these kids.
Well, I'll say this. I said it a few weeks ago. You know, my uncle's a scout for
my uncle's
for the A's, and he talks to guys with the Yankees. He has a lot of people in that network. And the biggest complaint with the scouts nowadays, especially in the Yankee organization, is that they feel disrespected. They feel like they're not listened to, because Cashman would rather listen to the nerds behind the computers instead of the guys who are there putting their eyes on players and telling them what raw talent is. And that's a big problem, because we've seen it too many times now not pan out. It seems like, other than the international guys, the people we're getting into the system, other than, you know, Judge, I just don't, where are they going? All of these big prospects that we keep hearing about, what happens to them?
Yeah, and Judge really predates this whole thing too, because
he does.
He drafted in,
what, we forget how old he is.
You know, something like that. And again, like, now that we bring up Aaron Judge, I can't hear the trade Aaron Judge talk. I just can't hear it, dude. I'm sorry. Like, I think you want to talk about the least of your problems. The guy's not a problem. So why create one?
Yeah, and again, we'll get more into the player aspect of things with the keep 'em dump 'ems, but
here's my whole point regarding that. Like, do you guys understand what that means, trading Aaron Judge? Do you really truly I know I said this before on this show. Do you really truly understand what it means when you're trading Aaron Judge? Do you really, you can't even
handle they don't understand the gravity, bro.
No, they don't. You can't even handle being a 92-win team that goes to the playoffs and loses. That bothers you. What are you going to do when you pull the plug on the whole fucking thing? And that's what's going to happen when you trade Aaron Judge.
You know what? You know what I've been comparing the Yankees to? Except less efficient, less economical, much higher payroll, but kind of the same concept. I've been comparing the Yankees to the Oakland A's over the last handful of years. Good enough to stay competitive, good enough to see relevant baseball throughout the entire season, good enough to make the playoffs, but never built to win it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a huge problem.
That's okay in Oakland, bro. That's unacceptable here.
Well, that's part of, I texted you earlier that, you know, we have to get into Cashman talk. And it's just something I want to dissect a little bit. So when we get to that point in the show, whenever that may be, I think it's an important conversation to have.
Well, do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to bury fucking Aaron Boone? Like, where do you undertake?
No. I think Boone has to be last. Because that's what everyone wants to hear.
Well, we're going to let the fans sound off last, but I mean, if you want
to. Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with Boone anyway. Okay. So I'm talking to my friend Tom last night.
Okay, my friend Tom.
Smart. I didn't call my buddy Tom. He's my friend Tom. And smart dude. He reminds me of a younger, less drugged out David Cone. Just very into the analytics.
Okay, so,
smart baseball guy. Okay. Less cocaine. Smart baseball guy. And we were talking, and he was shocked to hear my take on Cashman last night, that I think he needs to go. And the more I thought about his argument, the more I'm not questioning mine, but I'm at least giving it some thought from his perspective. And I think before I could even say what he had to say, I need to ask this question. What is the role of a general manager? How do we identify a successful GM and separate that from a failure of a GM? What is in it on its face, the simplest definition of a successful general manager?
Well, are you taking it in the context of what the Pirates should be doing or what the Yankees should be doing? Because there's two different things.
Well, I don't think, it necessarily it would be is.
who has more success with what he's given than failure.
Okay, but here's where I think we can strip it down, because we can always go back to the Rays, right? And we can say that this team who just won a pennant last year and who's going to probably go on another deep run this year, what if you add their entire payroll, it equals two of our top the highest paid guys?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cole and Stan make
okay.
the entire Rays team.
So we don't necessarily even have to go that far. What I'm saying is what on its face, the simplest, and here's my definition, maybe that'll make it easier. Here was Tom's definition.
Tom. Hi, my name's
Tom. My friend Tom. Hi, Tom. To give you a competitive team every year with the ability to make the postseason, because a general manager can't do more than that. Okay? A general manager can't take a team and push them into a World Series and to win, because we all know, the especially in baseball, the playoffs can be a crapshoot. Okay? Mm-hmm. So in that context, I can't necessarily disagree with him, because year after year, the Yankees have been competitive. They've made the postseason ever since 2016. And then they can't get over the finish line. Is that necessarily Brian Cashman's fault?
Yes.
Why? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to break it down.
Who picks the players that play for the Yankees?
Okay, but those players who he's put on the field, what I'm saying is he's gotten them there. Isn't it up to the players at some point to, like, I'm sorry, but he does make a point here, because isn't it up to the players at some point to say, we're the fucking Yankees and we made it this far, we can do anything, we can make it to game 7 of the ALCS, or we can fucking take it to game 6 and have to fucking figure something out to win? I mean, is it really Brian Cashman's fault that they didn't win it in 2019?
Yeah.
Why?
It was. Did you see that pitching staff?
Okay. Is that what lost them the... I'd say yes. I'm not... not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, I think the Yankees ultimately would have failed if it wasn't already.
Okay, so then what does Brian Cashman do in 2020?
What does he do? He signs Gerrit Cole.
Okay. So, and he added some more pieces in 2021 who, you know, I know they were question marks, but I think they really panned out. You can't knock the pitching this year.
Yeah, you can.
Why?
You can knock his decisions.
Why? The pitching staff, if anything, has been what carried them this far. The offense was miserable.
How many games did Corey Kluber miss this year?
I don't care. The pitching was not the issue. Because the pitching wasn't the issue. And I'm sorry, we didn't even get to see Corey Kluber in the postseason, because the ace that we signed, who I'm not disagreeing with, absolutely should have been signed, didn't even let us get that far.
But you have to make smarter decisions sometimes.
But is Corey Kluber the reason why they didn't win a World Series?
No, I wouldn't say he wasn't the reason. I'm not going to say that he was the reason, but you have to also eliminate question marks, and he didn't do that.
All I'm trying to do is, because I don't change my mindset that he needs to go.
So you think that because Nestor Cortez stepped up, that's okay that Corey Kluber missed fucking 10 fucking...
Not necessarily. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to figure out why I feel so strongly at this point that I want Cashman gone.
He had...
He's been here for 30 fucking years and they haven't won in 12 years. And he took control of the team in 2016 and they've gotten worse every year. Do you need another explanation other than that?
That's it. $40 million between Hicks, Britton, and Chapman.
But again,
$50 million with Severino. That's four guys, $50 million on a team that isn't the Yankees that we're used to, of a team that doesn't have they're signing blank checks. This was a team acting on a budget this year.
Here was my argument.
Salary cap.
All right, let me bring this up to you before you get to that point. They had to go out and get Rizzo and Gallo at the trade deadline, correct?
Yeah, they needed the lefty reinforcement.
Well, why the fuck didn't he sign Kyle Schwarber and Michael Brantley in the offseason?
Mm-hmm.
Because he had too much money allocated.
Corey Kluber instead.
Yeah. Why didn't he? Why? Because he had Clint Frazier here. Why the fuck didn't he trade Clint Frazier? He obviously look. We're not taking. Don't take into account the fact that he might never play again. Whatever's wrong with him, and you know, I do feel bad for the kid.
I don't
that he. You don't feel bad for Clint Frazier that absolutely he might never not, play baseball. No. Well, you're a scumbag. That's
good.
Neither.
Good. I don't care.
The guy has neurological problems. You don't feel bad for him.
He's fucking fine.
Then why isn't he playing baseball?
Because the Yankees hate his fucking guts.
Okay, so if the Yankees hate him so much, what? And this is not now the Robbie Ray Cy Young contender. This was Robbie Ray's serviceable pitcher. Why the fuck didn't he trade him for Robbie Ray then?
Why don't we see? Why didn't we see the capability of Robbie Ray and the potential? Why did we pass him up? Because as fans, it's easy to just look at it, you know, look at his stats and say, yeah, I mean, he's not that great. Right, but why? It's not our job to look past that and see the potential in a guy that is now going to win Cy Young.
Well, they saw it in Clay Holmes.
Look, and that's another argument Bullpen's for
different.
That's another it's argument for Cashman though, because there has been so many things he's done right. But here was my argument to him: if you can sit down and guarantee me that Cashman would keep his job, but he's going to actually hire a manager who he truly wants to be a manager. And not just a yes man who is there to fall in line and to agree with the philosophy of the organization that has failed year in and year out. And to actually hire, I'm not saying Buck Showalter is going to be a manager or whatever.
Cuck Showalter.
But actually hire a guy like that with that mentality instead of just a guy who's there to be a babysitter. And again, I really hate knocking Boone because I don't know how much of this is him being influenced by this philosophy that Cashman has.
We can definitely knock him.
Oh, well, no. I know I can knock him for a lot of shit. But what I'm saying is that at the core root of things, there's too much unknown. And it's like, if you can guarantee me Cashman could do that, then I'm fine with the give me a competitive team. Well, there's your team.
Point right there. You don't like having a yes man, follow the analytics type guy. Well, who wants the organization run like that?
Well, that's my biggest problem is that only gets you so far. And that's why I'm not okay with the regression. That's why I'm not okay with just being competitive and having winning seasons. That's why I'm not okay with just making it to the playoffs, because until that changes, I don't see the Yankees ever being successful. And the only way that changes...
You had to go out there and get Joey Gallo because you're playing Miguel Andujar in left field.
Right.
Whose fault is that?
Right. And there's only two ways that changes. That's either get a new GM with a new philosophy, or that's Brian Cashman finally putting shit aside, throwing it in the garbage, and taking a different approach. And I just don't see the latter happening.
I heard Kay from briefly like 2 minutes today. I think it had to be today, right? And he said that if a guy like Buck Showalter manages the Yankees while Brian Cashman is still here, Brian Cashman has lost a lot of power in the organization.
Well, I think that's a huge problem, because we've said it from at least the beginning of this year that it's not even Hal's fault. It's not the issue of the luxury tax, because again, we just reference right back to the Rays. They're doing it with a fraction of the money, and they're way more successful. And so it's not that. Where Hal's at fault is that he's put way too much power in the hands of Brian Cashman.
He should have said no, but he doesn't. Look, I'm not going to fault Hal for the reason why the Yankees have not gotten over the hump recently, but he's running the Yankees as a business, and he wants somebody to run the baseball side of things. He doesn't want to be involved like his father was.
And that's exactly what I said to Tom. I said, look, as what you just explained to me, in being competitive and continuing to make the postseason as a business, if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, I never want you to leave. Give me that year after year. The fans are going to keep showing up.
It ain't this year.
Well, you know.
And you can't tell me it was all COVID. There was a lot of empty
it was seats and it wasn't. It wasn't.
Look, dude, I'm telling you.
They showed up when the games mattered.
Yeah, but there was also days where pre-COVID, you know that there would have been 40,000 people in Yankee Stadium and there was 20,000 people. And you can't tell me that's all because of the pandemic.
No, it's not.
People are getting fed up with this team and they're not putting
maybe that's what needs to happen then if they don't keep winning. That's the problem, that the Steinbrenners don't feel the consequences enough. Because we're so goddamn stubborn and we love this team so much, maybe we have to stop showing up until they win. Yeah, and maybe that will cause change.
You know how much it killed me not going to a game last year? You know how much it killed me that I only got to one game?
Oh, that's our fault then.
That nobody wanted to go to games, that I could only go to one game this year?
That's our fault.
No, I mean, look, that's what I said, dude. Like, I can't give this shit up. Like, it is what it is.
It's like a drug.
It's a fucking mental illness.
Cocaine to have a drug.
You know, it's like, you know, it's like anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, being a Yankee fan.
True. It's true.
I don't know. Are you done with what you're saying?
Yeah. Look, I just that my only point is we need to get to the core root of why Cashman is such an issue, and then that kind of just leads us into the man who was hired for the job, who doesn't seem like he's going anywhere, and Aaron Boone.
All right. So let me answer this for you. All right. We'll say it this way. Even if you think he's a good general manager, when do results matter?
You have to ask that a different way. When do results matter?
Yeah, when do they matter?
In the postseason.
When do you lose your job for not... What is the Yankees' ultimate goal every year?
Well, that's why I just compared him to the A's, because if we're the Oakland A's now, and all that we care about is being competitive and making the postseason, then Brian Cashman is phenomenal.
Then you can't fire him. If that's the only goal now... That's the only goal now, is to play meaningful games in late September and get into a postseason game, then fine. He can stay forever. But I'm sorry, that's not cool for me. As a fan, it's not.
And that's what I said to him. I said, look, we'll never know who's right or who's wrong, but when we're talking in five years and the Yankees still haven't won a World Series, then I'm right.
If we're still sitting here and fucking, what year is it? If we're still sitting here in 2026 and these fucking idiots haven't won a World Series yet and Brian Cashman is still a general manager.
Can we move on?
I think that's when I will be done.
Okay. That's a deal. If it's 2026 and he's still the GM and they still haven't won a World Series, we're done as fans. We'll truly transition to the Pirates.
No, I think I'll learn how to fucking change a tire. Okay, I don't know how to do that.
Deal. I don't.
So, I think we said this, and it happened that Aaron Boone could not be pro. He had to be proactive and not reactive. Correct. Last night, and he was reactive, and he left Gerrit Cole in two batters too long. He left. I know you're going to make the argument you wanted him out after Bogarts, right? But we said two runs was his limit. You want to pull him after. You want to give him the chance at least to not give up the third run. I mean, really, I didn't want to see him again after the first inning, but I understand Boone's line of thinking there. After the shorter home run, he's got to come out of the game.
100%. And I got to start by – I'll start by saying this because there was too many people, again, you know, it's like you tweet something good about Aaron Boone and you get all the people who fucking hate him and want to rip you. And then you tweet something bad about him and all you hear are the people who want to defend him. So it's like, I tweeted out that he just was piss poor last night.
Oh, he was terrible. I'm sorry, he was.
He was piss poor. And I got people saying, oh, he's the reason why this happened. And no, look, at the end of the day, is Aaron Boone the reason why they lost? No. There's one person who's responsible for that, and that's Gerrit Cole. And is Aaron Boone the reason why the offense didn't show up? No. In a sense, no. But it's the manager's job, especially in the postseason, and especially when you have the weapons to do so, to stop the bleeding, to stop any sign of any threat right then and there. And Aaron Boone was two batters too late, or at least one batter too late, in every time he should have been out there. People told me no.
After Seve walked the guy, right?
And done.
Should have been out.
Done. But no, he's like, yeah.
Let him give up the double. That ended the game right. You want to say that Gerrit Cole's the reason why the Yankees lost last night? Fine. I can't argue that. Obviously, I can't argue that point. You put the team in a 3-0 hole.
But he that gave double was a dagger, man.
But once the team in the sixth inning there, once, you know, they're showing life finally, another ball that fucking I don't know how Stanton didn't hit that one out.
Was I right about him, by the way?
Who?
Stanton.
I was right about
my two right. picks, too. No, you were right. Okay. You were absolutely
okay.
right.
Okay, you want to fucking swing dicks around.
But was I not right about Stanton just fucking owning that city that at
was,
this point?
That was an easy one. That
oh, you said it wasn't, one. Though. You said it wasn't.
I never said that.
I said it wasn't.
You said it wasn't. You I tired?
Did. I did. Yeah, I'm shocked.
It wasn't easy okay. because you don't know if G's going to show up. He fucking
no, you do. You dude, can't doubt
he
this man
owns
anymore.
That city. Please don't ever pitch to him again yeah, at Fenway Park.
He's like top three at that stadium.
The next time you want to tweet something negative about John Carlos Stanton, before you hit send, go down to the local train station and stand in front of the fucking tracks.
You know how
the train's coming
you know how
through.
Twitter warned you now.
He tweeted it.
He tweeted. What? You know how Twitter warned you when you go to send something offensive? Like I'll send something like you're a fucking joke to someone. And before it sends, Twitter's like, are you sure you want to send it? I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. I want to tell this guy he's a fucking joke. They should have a fucking trigger warning come up when you want to tweet something negative about Giancarlo Stanton at this point.
Because you want to know something outside of Rizzo, his home run. You know, Stan really should have. I don't know how he didn't hit three last night.
On all three of them. All three of them look like bombs.
Seems well, like hit. You're being irrational. Are you sure you want to send that tweet?
He sure you want to make yourself look like an asshole?
You know, and then you got these, you know, excuse my language, but fuck it, who cares? These cocksuckers out there tweeting and posting yesterday, like typical Stan when he hits the home run in the ninth inning. Fuck you, dude.
Are you
seriously
kidding me? Do people actually tweet that, or you just manifest that in your own mind?
No, I do not manifest that in my own mind.
Did you tweet it? Are you like fucking? Are you
on your burner?
I tweeted it for my burner. So
you have
an
alter ego that you fucking don't even realize it.
The guy drove in 10 runs the last time he was in fucking in
Tyler
Fenway
Durden
Park.
Over there.
Typical Stan, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
seriously.
Fuck you.
That's
fuck you, made up person.
You want to go stand in front of a fucking train?
Do me a favor. Find me those tweets and tag me in them.
All right. I already told you who said
didn't
it.
Didn't we get bad reviews because you said that once?
That's okay. Bad reviews are better than no reviews at
something
this point.
With, yeah, that's true. Yeah, fucking kill yourself. Just kidding. Just kidding.
We're kidding. It's a joke.
It's a joke. Don't kill yourself. Just
are you sure you want to? Are you sure you want to tweet that?
Don't kill yourself. Look, this
whoa,
is my advice.
Whoa, wait, honestly, wait a second.
If you're going to have something negative to say about John Carlos Stanton, don't kill yourself. Let the train do it for you.
Just think about it.
But just you're being irrational. Are you sure you want to send that?
Yeah, I mean, really, at this point, I mean, you look foolish if you're going to rip the guy now.
All right, so let's get back on track. Aaron Boone. Two batters too late with everything. Seve gives up that double. Yeah. That's the dagger like, at that dude, point.
And then even at 4-1, you want to say that they have an opportunity to get back in that game at 4-1? Then he leaves Wyskin the game too long.
Yeah, it's like he didn't. It's like he doesn't.
After the first walk, that's it.
And let
get
me ask
him
you
out
a question.
Game.
Let me ask you a question. Not that Green was the definite answer, but like, was Wyskin your last great option?
No, your last great option? Yes. Your last good option? No.
But when he's walking guys, is he? Do you have to leave him out there because your next, next up is a guy like Brooks Kreske?
No,
you or do you have Chad Green still in there? Do you still have Chapman in there? Like, come on, dude. Right. You still have
that's
the bullets. You still that's like honestly being in a fucking shootout with someone and you have the fucking chamber, right? And you have a few bullets left, but you're still just shooting the blanks instead of just fucking rolling it out and getting back to the bullet. And you're just getting shot. And you just continue to get shot. And then you go, oh, wait, here it is. Boom. And it's too late because you're fucking dead.
And there's way too many moments that's happened. Like off the top of my head, you could really think of a few different times throughout the last, what, 3-4 years of the postseason where he's left the guy in there too long. Remember what, like, I think it was CC he left out too long and then he put in Lance Lynn or something a couple of years ago.
Right.
I think it was 2018.
Go back to our last episode before the wild card game. We said there was one thing he needed to do. That was manage with urgency at all costs.
Proactive, not reactive.
Be Gerrit Cole, whether it be fucking Jonathan Loaisiga, Luis Severino, it doesn't matter. You had to manage with urgency, and he did the absolute opposite of that.
Yeah.
Awful. And no, people said, like, I tweeted, like, this was the last straw, that, like, the last bit of proof I needed to know that Boone is just not the guy for the job. This was his worst managerial performance. I was like, I could name 10 games worse than this. No, you fucking dickhead. Not with the fucking season on the line.
No, but, and also, how many games can you say that they had a full strength bullpen like they had last night?
Right. The one game they did, which was that final game, you know, where they clinched.
He managed that game beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. If he managed this game the way he managed that game, I'm not saying they would have won, but it would have been a lot closer, and you would have had a lot more hope going into the later innings.
The problem there, and look, I don't agree with it. I'm not making excuses for him, but sometimes the name fools you, and I think he wanted to trust Gerrit Cole.
But we said that couldn't happen.
I understand.
I don't care what his name is. Why are we saying these things and not the people in charge?
But that's one of the negatives, though, of having an ace, of having someone you're paying that kind of money to, is that they need to earn that money.
That's the point, though.
You got to give them that chance.
If you're going to give Gerrit Cole that chance, and you're even going to let him try to, once the third run is given up, he's got to be out of the game. But even if you want to let him get through that and hope that he can give you 4 or 5 innings, there's no excuse for how you left Stevie in there once too long, or how you left Loaisiga in there once too long.
But why are we trying to get 4 or 5 innings out of a guy when we, A, don't need to because we have everyone in there, and B, he's clearly shown he just can't be effective of late.
I know that, but I'm saying, dude, there's certain guys that you will, and we said, I'm not
backtracking. So you're saying if you want to give him a pass on Cole, that's fine. You can still name 10 other times in that game that you couldn't give him a pass.
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, you want to, if you're a man, look, we're not managers, but like, if you're in that situation, like, as much as easy as it is for us to sit here and say, first sign of trouble has got to come out of the game, that's still your fucking ace, dude. Like, it's got to be, that's got to be a fucking hard decision to go out there and get him in the third inning, right? It has to be.
Here's my problem with that. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not, but here's my problem with it. If Gerrit Cole gave me a handful of starts leading up to that game where he was Gerrit Cole,
right? Okay,
and then he gets knocked around, then it's very difficult. But you know what you have right in front of you, and you have there's two ways to go about it. He's either going to show you right off the bat that he's not that guy you've seen the last couple outings.
I mean, which,
or he's going to show you right away that he can't be effective like you know he can be. And he did it immediately. And in that going into that game for a team that has so many fucking things already printed out and a game plan they're going to stick to, for a team that does that so many times, how are you not going into that game saying, if Gerrit Cole shows me he can't be effective again, we need to have the shortest leash possible on a guy that we consider an ace, as difficult as that is?
Right. That's where I can't disagree with, but there's no arguing that. There's no excuses for why Severino was left in to give up that double in that spot, or why Loaisiga was left to walk up a second batter.
He hadn't given up a run in his 4 appearances since having Tommy John surgery.
Oh, 4.
Yeah.
4.
And here's my thing, right?
Let's pitch 5 innings in fucking 10 years.
Here's my thing. I really, you know, someone came at me at this, and I couldn't really argue it fully. It was more of just an emotional thing that I said with the whole Gerrit Cole thing. I still get it because he didn't, you know, here's my thing. He gives up that double in the second inning. I have someone warming right away. I'm not saying take him out, but show me that you're going to have someone warming because you see what I'm seeing, right? I'm not saying take him out. I understand letting him go back out for the third and, you know, unfortunately gives up that home run to Schwarber. But you're just still not showing me urgency. That's my biggest issue. There was no sign of urgency in any regard. And that's where my issue is. It's not the fact that he let him go back out there in the third, you know, because I probably would have let him go back out there in the third inning also. It's the lack of urgency he showed by not having someone warming up after that He gives up the two-run homer, and then the next inning gives up that double. I don't care that he gets out of the inning unscathed. Yeah. You have to have someone warming.
Need, that's when you need Jay Happ. You need Jay Happ in there.
To come in, to do the switcheroo.
Yeah, you know, the time they should have done that. Off, amazing strategy that they didn't do it.
And I got to say this, dude, and, you know, we're going to probably repeat the same things over again in a couple weeks or whatever, but it has to be said now. It fucking kills me that I want to see the guy. He's not going to get fired, obviously, because his contract is up. But it kills me that I don't want the guy to return as manager, because I really truly think he's a good guy and he fucking cares. And, I, you know, but sometimes that's not enough. Like, dude, we're ready to run through a fucking brick wall for this guy after he gets a pacemaker put in. And then the day later, he's getting COVID tested so he can go get on a fucking bus to manage a spring training game in the rain when anybody in their right mind would have said, I'm going to take a couple days to relax. No, Aaron Boone was on a fucking bus to go manage a fucking game wherever the hell they had to go.
As much as I agree with the people that say that maybe he's just not fit for it, it still pains me, just like you said, because there are signs of hope with when it comes to Boone. That I feel like a lot of the criticism throughout the last few years has been unfair. I really feel that way. Because in the beginning, and here's where he's truly fell off. The first 2 years he's here, he's hit with a shit ton of adversity, right? A shit ton of injury. And he continued to get the best out of his guys, 100 win seasons. Again, I'm going to say it again. In 2018, they ran into a really good Red Sox team. In 2019, they make it to the ALCS. They come a couple games away from a pennant. They fall short. But he didn't have the pitching. And then it's like COVID hit, and he disappeared. When his identity disappeared, the identity of the team disappeared. And that, I think, again, we can come back to it and say that the biggest issue with the Yankees over the last 2 years is that they just never found their true identity. They never became the Yankees.
Something changed him last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I honestly believe that, and he never came back from it.
And look,
change of heart.
Change of heart.
They changed his heart, right?
Yeah.
With the rules that were in place last year, where you couldn't get in the umpire's face, and that was like a thing that he always did to get the team going, and you know, having adopted, I don't want to sound insensitive.
Haitian,
they're Haitian kids.
I think so. Yeah.
Right. The entire thing with the Black Lives Matter movement last year, having his adopted children in there, I'm sure that weighed on him too.
Mm.
You can't say that it didn't. I mean,
okay, if it did, but I'm sorry, there's certain personal things that you can't let affect.
Shut up for a second. He never seemed to turn the switch back on this year.
No, and that it's not even just this year. It's been, you know, like you said, started last year, and even when they started to win games last year, it still never turned on. Even in the postseason when they made it to game 5, that switch never turned back on.
So say for him, like that switch never turned on again. Like to be the
almost like he managed like he wasn't there. Like he felt like his job wasn't secure and he knew he was gone.
And you know, it really does. Like I hate saying this, but you have to go back to Stump Merrill to find the worst Yankee manager in the last 35 years or whatever it is. And that's not company you want to keep in as a Yankee manager.
How are you saying that?
How am I saying that?
Yeah.
How many World Series did he win?
Zero.
Okay.
He's only been here for 4 years.
How many did Joe Girardi win?
One.
Okay. That's one more than Aaron Boone has.
Okay.
And he won it in his second year, so don't tell me.
Okay, but then he was here for 8 years without any.
Okay, he still won one, did he not?
Yeah, yeah.
You hate Girardi.
Yeah, but you know what? I appreciate him more now because I see the difference in a guy who, yes, was analytical, but a guy who had a had his pulse on every single player during every game.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can truly see the difference between Girardi and Boone.
They called him fucking Binder Joe, okay?
Yeah, well.
That's what, I mean, honestly, like, you know, if fans are always like, I want a guy like Girardi who manages from his gut. He literally had a fucking binder that he couldn't, I mean, like, you know how Linus has his fucking blanket and, yeah.
And Boone had, what's his face?
AJ Cole.
Yeah. But look, that's the difference though. Girardi, yes, was analytical, had the binder, but Girardi knew how to separate that binder from what he was seeing in a lot of ways. He had his finger on the pulse.
Not always.
Not always. Not always, but at least when it mattered. Yes.
It pained him to go away from that binder.
Yes, but you know what?
Like he felt it. Like he was, every time he went away from the binder, he felt like he was cheating on his wife.
And I felt like over the last 2 years at least, when Boone would make a decision, he was always second guessing himself. And he was always managing to outmanage someone else. And you just don't manage this team that way. Not when it's built the way it is. There's nothing to be scared of.
You have to manage your team, not against the other team.
And that's what Boone did way too often. He tried to get way too cute with a team that didn't need to get cute.
I mean, there's times they could have used some cuteness, but...
Well, there's a difference
between... Tyler Wade could have played.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let me grab my phone here. I had to put some juice in it, and I don't know where the fuck my iPad is. So
my iPad got tweeted it.
At least what's his name looked fucking awesome. That's the one bright spot was Clay.
Hopefully,
Holmes.
It makes it to the end of the show here, which we're closing in on the end of the show.
Ryan made a great point. We should just touch on for 2 seconds. How fucking nasty was Clay Holmes, dude? Another great call by you.
Yeah,
that he would be the extinguisher. Man, he was fucking filthy. What'd you say? We have him for 3 years?
Yeah, he's under control for 3 more
years. I'm sure he'll regress, though.
Yeah, he'll probably get Tommy John eventually, but.
You hope not here. All right. So, as we said, that, well, you know, Cashman will sign him to a 10-year extension.
Probably.
We said that in the coming, you know, we're going to take this week off, you know, this weekend. And then we'll be back in probably it's probably about 10 days at this point.
We're going to go Yank for 10 days.
Okay. Well, then we're going to do the keep 'em dump 'ems for this season. I was just looking through a couple of them, a couple of past votes here. And where the fuck is it? I just had it. Aaron Boone, since he's been here in 2018, was voted keep by the fans every time. 63% in 2018, 90% in 2019, 58% last year. Now, I asked you guys, and I wanted to bring this up on the show here. Will he be voted a dump, and what percentage?
30% keep, 70 dump.
You think it's going to be that high?
I do.
No, I think it'll be 55-45 dump.
I don't think it'll be that close, dude. I think anyone defending already. Anyone who was defending him has completely jumped ship.
80-20 dump.
I don't think it's going to be as close. I don't think it's going to be as big of a runaway as you think. I'm more in line with Ryan. It's going to be like in the mid to, you know, high 50s that people will vote to dump him.
I'm actually very confident I'm right on this.
Oh, well, guess what else you were very confident about, Chris? Now what are we talking about here?
I say 30-35% keep.
And now 35%.
I can promise you this. It'll be the most voted on poll.
Ooh.
That we do.
Scientific.
It's definitely possible.
It would be a scientific fucking poll.
I hope scientific. So. Scientific. You know, Twitter keeps suppressing everything that I post, so. Yeah.
Gotta go woke.
Check. That's check.
Ryan definitely doesn't want to be woke right now.
I don't know. I just need some Coke.
Coke to be woke.
All right, let's see.
Diet Coke. Okay, I don't snort Coke. I drink Coke. Diet Coke.
I got my diet woke here. Okay. One last thing before we read the fan comments here. Now this tweet is over 1,000 likes. And I didn't think, honestly, I really didn't think it was going to, because people have fucking hated this guy for 3 years now. But if that was indeed the last we ever saw of Brett Gardner, I just want to say thank you to the guy.
I really love that dude.
Love you, Brett.
I think a lot of the hate was misdirected towards him because he had to play a lot. And that's really, again, Brian Cashman's fault.
Not
having more reliable outfielders, okay? That Brian, we always said, Gardy can come back if, and the if always didn't happen.
Yep, correct.
So if that's a lot, and I said this in the Patreon show, and just say it again for anybody that listened to it, I'm not telling the guy to retire because if somebody's going to pay him to play baseball next year, who am I to say don't? I really hope that he does, though, because I don't want to see him in another uniform. And as fucked up as it sounds, I don't want to see him in a Yankees uniform either.
I think he'll be back.
Yeah, again, it's Yankees. Smart or Yankees?
That one, I'm going Yankees.
Starting center field.
He will play 152 games.
Batting third, Brett Gardner.
And I don't think that we'll... I really doubt that we'll hear an answer one way or another on Aaron Boone by the time we get... I think Aaron Boone might be the main event of the Keep 'em Dumping polls. It might be the last one that we post, so we'll get that into week two. So it'll be probably about 3 weeks from now. I doubt that we'll hear an answer on his future by then, but would it shock you if he gets a contract?
No,
not at all.
No, I am actually very confident he will.
Right. Yeah, that's
because here's how I put it. A manager doesn't necessarily know his future, but they've had enough talks where he can get a general idea.
General idea?
And for him to be so confident in his wording last night.
When he said we.
Proves to me that there was not enough talk about his job being on the line. And he
said that he did say that he hasn't had any discussions about his future, but I don't believe that.
Right, but there's a way you can kind of get a feel. Get a feel for the room.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, he knows. And to make statements like that so confidently, I think he knows deep down he will get some type of a contract.
I'll say this, right? If the Yankees do surprise, I'm going to err on the side that it would be a surprise if he doesn't come back. You can hire another guy that agrees with your philosophy, but he's got to be a guy that's been in the dugout before.
Yeah.
He can't do this to us again. Where
that's fair.
A guy out of fucking, out of a fucking,
what about Mike Socha?
Announcer's booth. Fuck him. I don't want him around here.
If Mike Socha is the next manager of Yankees, I'm not a Yankee fan anymore.
All right.
Briefly, before we get into it, because I know we're running long and it's getting late.
Yeah, my ass hurts.
My
ass is that Matt Vasgersian is stepping down from Sunday Night Baseball, and they want to bring back A-Rod. And one of the people internally that ESPN is discussing to host Sunday Night Baseball, be the play-by-play guy, is Michael Kay. And I just want to make you more miserable, put the image of Michael Kay and
A-Rod. Yeah, but A-Rod. Wasn't that the original plan for that crew? And then A-Rod was like, no, I don't want to work with Michael Kay or something.
Something happened. You're right, Rye. I think Michael Kay was in talks for that. But I thought it was Michael Kay not wanting to travel and do that on the Sundays.
I mean, he does work for ESPN, so it's easy. It would be an easy transition. But just want to put that out there for everybody. If you're not depressed and angry enough to think about a Sunday night baseball game in late September when the Yankees are down a game in Boston and having to listen to fucking
Chuan
and A-Rod.
Does he come up with a new script though for like a national broadcast?
Bonus Cantos. No,
because that's a whole new audience. They haven't heard it before.
Oh God. Yeah. He's probably clamoring at that. Fuck. He's like, I could fucking get another 30 years out of, he's ready.
This is going to go viral.
Oh, bonus. I get bonus Cantos for real.
All right, so we got a lot of comments here. I'm not going to read them all, but viral. I'm going to read a good amount of them here. You guys can react to them if you'd like. This is from at Tony Palmieri. When you consider that they didn't have Hicks and Voit for most of the year, Frazier was a bust, Gary, Glaber, DJ, all disappointing, Seve Hermann out most of the year, and Chappie's midseason meltdown, it's amazing they made the wild card game. Not sure they need major changes in to make the World Series in 2022.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you were watching, dude. They definitely need
to. No. Look, I agreed with him up until when he said, like, it's amazing they made the wild card. I agree. But how did you do that?
I'm reacting.
But honestly, that can't be an excuse. Like, I can't make that an excuse.
No, he says basically what the guy's saying is bring back the same team next year.
No, because we can't rely on these people anymore.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. Our buddy Chris Colon, very disappointed. The team cowers at the smallest sign of adversity. Down 2-0 in the first inning was enough to put them away. No fight. They also don't play with urgency. Boone manages for Friday on a Monday. I don't know what else to say. I'm done. Hopefully you're not done. You're
done, just done,
frustrated
done.
And
yeah, upset that's right just now. Someone who was upset after the loss.
Why is that? Not,
it was a competent.
Why he raised his hand.
Oh shit! I don't know how to lower hand.
Len Diesel says, in my opinion, got to move on from Boone. It's not working. Had plenty of time and a lot of talent. Warrior Boss 2 says, disappointed but not at all surprised. They showed us last night what they showed us all season long.
That's one of the more fair statements.
Yeah.
B2B Seth, at its core, Yankees are and have been a good team. They need a better core of players on pitching and in the field to make them a great team. New leadership, it's time for that too.
So they need a new team is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Cobani Gold, Joey Cobani. Need a new hitting coach, new manager with some stones. Really don't want to see Hicks Frazier next season. I want to re-sign Rizzo, sign Seager, trade Voit and Glaber.
Choo-choo.
This is from Simon Says 95. Living on the other side of the pond, I've had a day to come to terms with it. And what a waste of a season it was, from injuries to embarrassing losses to late game collapse. The most streaky team I can remember. Those overshadow everything else. This is from BJ Davis, 23. Boone has to go. Let Sanchez walk. Trade Voit for bullpen help. Probably impossible to find somebody to take Hicks, but re-sign Rizzo. Would take pennies on the dollar to move Gallo. Say goodbye to Gardy. Need to get younger and more athletic.
Again, so we need a new team.
Yeah.
So the guy we pay to construct the team didn't do a good job, is what you're telling me.
This is from Dimwit.
So this should be good.
Fixing it requires a massive roster turnover, and the entire coaching staff needs to be sent
back. So we need a new team.
Yeah, put that in the we need a new team pile.
Yeah, right. Okay, here's Travis. This is from the Chit 92. Got to dump Sanchez. If the Reds let Barnhart go, we should be all over him. Get Seager or Story to play short and sign either Robbie Ray or Kevin Gossman.
New team.
Oh, gosh. I don't want those guys.
Pyro Dude 81. I'm not even mad they lost. This team has been inconsistent in every aspect. An overhaul is needed in the offseason, but I'm frustrated.
You're not mad, you're frustrated. We're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you.
Yeah.
No, we're laughing at you, dude. This is from Adiranzak. It sucks
Zach
knowing
Efron?
Yeah, it might be his burner. It sucks knowing that Boone will be safe again this year and we will suffer through another year of disappointing play, not living up to expectation, atrocious lineup, and stomach churning bullpen management. Okay. Grizzly Boy.
What? Why are all these people?
That's exactly how Fritz responded to a
comment. Why are all these handles like hiker people?
I don't know.
Adirondack, and then what's this one?
Grizzly Boy.
Grizzly Boy.
I don't think we get rid of Rizzo due to him probably being our best lefty bat. Boone is gone, and I think Torres is done too. Sign a shortstop and have Stanton be a more regular outfielder. But in free agency, I'd rather have gone for a contact bat instead of Joey Gallo.
It's like every comment's like, the team is fine, but you got to get a new first baseman, sign a new shortstop, get a new pitcher, put Stanton in the outfield.
This is from Who Loves Your Baby. Here's what went wrong. No balance in the lineup. It was kind of there on paper. DJ and Glaber should have been on base, guys. They were not. I see Gio in that role as well. Too many righty bats. Fixed Gallo, but he didn't bring the right balance.
I like that. That makes sense to me. Uh-huh.
ZJ Welter.
I think Gio Urshela is going to get moved in the offseason.
Yeah, I think Gio was a big issue with this team down the stretch.
He's going to get moved.
When he doesn't hit, he has a little he's such value, a hole in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I could. I'm just going to give a spoiler. I would vote to dump Gio Urshela.
Yeah, unfortunately, and me too.
This is from ZJ Welter. We'll read a few more and then we'll get out of here. But Chris is having a good time listening to them.
They're great. I'm dying.
This certainly sucks. The team gave us hope and despair. Ultimately, I hate to say it, but Boone and Cashman will be back next year. The team needs a makeover. Hopefully there is baseball with the impending collective bargaining agreement battle. There could be a strike. All right. Okay. Here's from Matt Haven from South Bronx. Okay. Fire Boone, release Sanchez, Voit, Urshela, Torres, LeMayu, re-sign Judge, sign Nestor long-term, fix the holes, especially a catcher and shortstop. Oh,
man. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sign here. Okay.
No problem.
Okay. I mean, did you want that expedited or
you know in Scrabble when you can just like fucking you have like a whole list of letters in front of you but you just want to like pass your turn and you're just like fuck it, I'm gonna trade in all these and skip my turn. People think you could just throw all the players into a bag and fucking toss them out and just get a new bag of players. Like that can't, like, you know, that can't happen. We need to at least hold the players accountable a little bit here and say they need to show up next year.
Yeah,
maybe right. You want to tell me you're trading two guys out of your starting lineup right. from this year?
Like, it can't be like Voit, Sanchez, Torres, Urshela. Yeah, I'm going to trade these pieces in, please.
All right. This is from Context 774. Hoping the Yankees are rational. Okay. Shortstop and center field need to be replaced. Trade Gary. If you can upgrade. If not, stay with Gary. Trade Chappie. Groom Loaiza. He spells Loaizica. Loisca. Groom Loaizica and Holmes to be the closer and setup man. Rizzo is a keeper. I don't know about Joey Gallo. Here's a great one.
Do people not know Joey Gallo's here for the next couple of years?
He's a free agent after next season. He is movable, so, but I don't see the Yankees doing it. Chris Kalaith, this is a great one here. Okay. I don't want Cashman gone, but if Boone gets fired, I'd want somebody who's coached the Yankees before, like Joe Espada or Rob Thompson.
No, thank you.
Maybe hey, Larry got fired this year. Maybe they can.
Maybe we can get Larry back.
Rothschild back.
I have to go through this. I have to go through this. This is two tweets.
Yeah,
just please stick with this one. I'm elite. That's his handle. Okay,
oh, I'm elite. God, I thought he was starting with that.
Okay, Boone must go. Gardner must go. Boone's whole staff must go. Except for Blake, extend him. Trade Gio. Trade Glaber. Trade Hicks, try to get a good deal. Try to get a good deal for Gallo. If not, keep him. Trade Luke. Re-sign Rizzo / Olsen. I don't even know who the fuck Olsen is. But we're going to
They want Matt Olsen.
We're going to re-sign him?
The best first baseman in baseball. They just want him. Like he's a fucking, like he's a Christmas present.
Okay, ready? Here we go.
You know, whoever makes the All-Star game, whoever made it this past year, I just want them.
There's more. Please, yeah. Wait. It gets better. Sign Seager and move him to third base. All right. So he wants Olsen, right? You said Olsen's a first baseman?
Yes.
Yeah. Sign Freeman, if not Rizzo. Freddie is my first choice. Sign Castellanos. Re-sign Kluber, but pay him less. Sign Raziel Iglesias. Sign Steven Matz. Try to sign Alex Wood. Try to sign Jake Mariznick. And wait for it. Seriously, wait for it now. Wait for it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Sign Trevor Bauer. I don't think he did it.
Can we end on that, please?
That's a championship team right here.
Why don't we get OJ to manage the team? Fuck it.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that the name of his book or something? I don't think I did it.
No, it was If I Did It. If I Did It.
I mean, there are a few more, but I mean, do we really need
to? No.
At that point?
No, nah, what's
that? That one's too good.
Seriously, my head hurts.
Don't think he did it.
No, I mean, the MLB just had enough evidence not to let him play this year. Right?
Hey, you know what? Him and Herman.
And that's the right move to bring Cole, on $40
since
million.
Since Cole isn't our ace anymore, him and Herman could be our 1-2 punch.
Literally. So, before we go here, now that you brought this up, Marley Rivera, our favorite, right? Put out a tweet today and listed like 10, 12 Yankees. She says, I just want to thank everybody who I covered the Yankees, and I want a special shout out these guys that handled themselves with class and professionalism. And she listed 10 or 12 guys.
Gerrit Cole couldn't have been on that list.
Noticeably absent, Gerrit Cole. But the domestic abusers, Domingo Germán and Aroldis Chapman, on the list.
Oh, how pretty.
Shoot your wife, beat her, but treat me well enough to not talk down to me when I ask something stupid. I like you.
That sounds like America.
It's all over but the crying. I don't know if you got anybody still crying here. The show is extremely long.
I'm crying from laughing.
It's the end of the season here. It's been a wild ride this year. It's been a roller coaster of emotions, but I would go through this again tomorrow for more Yankee baseball. That's just when it's over, it sucks. And, you know, if you were one of these people that didn't want them to win because you wanted changes and you're happy they lost, I have...
Go fout yourself.
Yeah, seriously, you know. Chris, just play the drop to tell these people where they need to go.
Get the fuck out!
It's just as simple as that. And as we close the show here, again, a big fucking thank you to everybody that's listened to the show this year, everybody that supported the show. And again, I gave you guys a lot of love last night, and I'm going to do it here on this main feed here. Our patrons, you guys are the ones that literally put your money where your mouth is to help keep the show going, that you loved us so much. And it's not lost on me. It really is not lost on me. I know a lot of people have dealt with a lot of different things coming in out of 2020 into 2021. And even if it is $5, that's more than we could ever ask for. And you guys stepped up and did your thing and showed us that you want the show to continue. And from the bottom of my heart, I know I can be a sarcastic prick and an asshole sometimes, but honestly, fucking, you know, thank you very much for supporting the show in that way. And if you haven't and you love us, it's still there. Go to patreon.com/NYYST and become a patron. It's it's the final season, but maybe it's not. And like I said, after the second week of the Keep 'Em Dump 'Em, we will have news on the future of the show. And that's a little thing to keep you tuned in here. If you were wondering what's going to happen with us, we'll announce it after we're done with the second week of the Keep 'Em Dump 'Em. So like I said, we're going to take this week off to just chill out and relax and just decompress a little bit, and we'll come back and figure out who needs to stay and who needs to. Chris, hit it.
Get the fuck out!
And it's going to, like we said, yeah, there you go, Ryan. Ryan's already checked out mentally here.
Token
Ryan. All right, so again, thank you so much for your...
It's just CBD.
And again, thank you so much for your support of the show. We love you so much. Thank you. Follow us on fucking Twitter if you want. If not, don't. But don't. Seriously, thank you don't again. It's been a wild year. And we're going to fucking put ourselves through it again in March. So here we go. One last time, SGR.
Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.